Delighted to be joined in the studio by Mark McFarland, who is a strategist at Emirates NBD Private Banking. Mark, great to see you. Thanks for being with us.
How are you doing?
Very well indeed. Thank you. Looking at the markets on the first day of the week, broadly speaking, they're positive. Higher in the United States, higher in Europe. And gold is also higher. And I want to start with gold because that is the subject of your weekly report. The headline is this: all eyes on gold and Jackson Hole. Why are we looking at gold?
Very simply, gold seems to have broken out. Our commodities analyst, a lovely guy called Jerry Schubert, has written a really nice note this week talking about the trading range that we've seen in gold throughout the summer of about 1550 to 1630. And we've seen gold breaking out of that level now. Essentially, what's happening is two things. Central banks are looking like they're buying a lot more gold now. And then also you've got the likelihood of some announcement this week or next week or so on quantitative easing by either the U.S. Federal Reserve or also by the European Central Bank. So both of those factors tend to support the gold price and are likely to lead to the prices moving higher.
You talk about Jackson Hole in your note. This is the big Federal Reserve meeting, isn't it, in Wyoming in the United States. They do it every year. It's at a place called Jackson Hole. It is a place. Mm-hmm. And people are very excited because it was at Jackson Hole 2 years ago that Ben Bernanke announced quantitative easing too. And people are thinking, well, maybe history will repeat itself.
Well, excuse me. Certainly, there's a lot of expectation. If you read the Wall Street Journal, there was an article in there about Ben Bernanke allegedly last week writing a letter to Governor Representative Issa in the U.S. House of Representatives about the likelihood for a need for more stimulus measures in the U.S. economy. So there is the expectation out there that there will be some kind of an announcement. Certainly the FOMC's minutes last week suggested that there was room for more stimulus measures. So the market really has traded up, and we saw that on Friday afternoon, the market trading up on the expectation that there will be some kind of stimulus measures coming through.
Jackson Hole, you've got the Federal Reserve there, you've got Ben Bernanke there, but it's not just a Federal Reserve conference, isn't it? It's more than that. The world, or not the world, but markets follow it very, very closely, don't they?
This one's very different, Richard. This one has also got Mario Draghi talking on the 1st of September. Now, the expectation also is that there will be some kind of intimation by Draghi that the bond buying program that the ECB has talked about, where they're essentially stimulating the economy in the same way as the US Federal Reserve's quantitative easing program, that there'll be some kind of an announcement that they're going to implement that. And that's one of the reasons why probably Bernanke's statement this time around will play second fiddle to those of Draghi on the 1st of September. So it's a really, really important event this year. It's not just about a ski resort. It's not just about a man with a beard. It's about an Italian guy who may well turn out to produce something of real comfort for markets.
And of course, for your client, you're the chief investment strategist at Emirates NBD Private Banking. You're going to be watching this, and your clients are going to
very
be watching
much
so. This because it will
yes.
impact their portfolios, won't it?
Absolutely. One of the things that's, aside from the gold angle that we were saying, that gold seems to have broken out, if you're looking at an equity portfolio at the moment, it's really the US portion of the portfolio that has performed reasonably well. Emerging markets have lagged to some extent because they're really driven by liquidity at the moment rather than valuation. In the last couple of weeks, in the last month or so, I would say, you've seen quite a big movement up in European equities and those of the Eastern European region, which were really quite sensitive to European banking problems. The likelihood is that those would move higher. The problem is that those are also the areas where you've got the biggest risk of a reversal if there is bad news. So really what we're telling clients is stick to US equities rather than trying to add to risk at the current time.
Interesting comments today from Wen Jiabao, the Chinese premier, about effectively a slowdown in the Chinese economy.
Yes.
We heard from Mark Summers actually for 7 days a while ago, and he said, we used to say when America sneezes, the rest of the world catches cold. Now, maybe we need to rejig that phrase and say when China sneezes, the world catches cold. And Wen Jiabao saying we need to do something about our exports. How concerned should we be about a slowdown in China?
China's largest trading partner is Europe. So easily, if you get a slowdown in trade with the European Union, or the Eurozone to be more precise, then it will impact Chinese exports and imports. And we've already seen those numbers coming through. We've also seen a slowdown implied by the decline in the Purchasing Managers Index, primarily the HSBC one, which covers the small to medium-sized enterprise sector. The larger enterprises are covered by the official index, and it's not showing much of a slowdown. But there are generally quite clear signals that the export sector and the domestic companies that are sensitive to exports have been finding life difficult. But equally, if you look at money supply growth, if you look at general conditions within the retail sector and the property market in China, for example, you're still seeing signs that the economy there is actually growing quite robustly. The property market, for example, has shown for the last 2 months that prices have started to rise again. And if you read the Chinese press, if you read the China Daily or some of the other English language newspapers, you'll see that there's now a debate in China about whether anti-property measures should actually be tightened up rather than loosened, which is not the sign that the Chinese authorities are terribly concerned about a downswing in the domestic economy.
And of course that impacts your clients, investors here in the Middle East, yes, in a number of ways. One is simply in their portfolios. People here own a lot of international securities, but also through the oil price. If the Chinese economy does run out of steam, you don't have to be an economist to figure out that demand for energy will slow down, and the $115 Brent that we're seeing now could become $60, $70 Brent. How realistic a possibility is that?
Of what exactly?
Of a slowdown in China leading to Brent crude falling from $115 a barrel where it is today or thereabouts down to $50, $60, $70 a barrel.
It's a good question, actually, and it's one that we get asked a lot. I mean, you've got to see the domestic economy in China slowing down quickly. What we're seeing to some extent is the export orientated sectors of the Chinese economy finding it difficult. If you look at the internal parts of the economy, retail, etc., the non-manufacturing sector, that's not really showing much sign of a decline. Look at car sales, for example, they're still pretty strong. You look at consumer spending patterns, they're still pretty strong. But if you do see a big slowdown in the Chinese economy, clearly that's a lot of marginal demand taken away from the demand for petroleum, rather, and therefore you probably would see the price of oil moving lower. But also bear in mind that oil is partly political trade as well, bearing in mind where we live. If you get increased tensions in this part of the world, it also tends to add buoyancy to the price of oil because of threats of, say, closure of the Straits of Hormuz, etc. So you're looking at a number of different factors to drive the oil price rather than just looking at demand from Asia Pacific.
A final quick word, if I can, on currencies, Mark. The euro today, I'm reading, trading at its highest for about 7 weeks. German confidence, there was a survey out today.
That's right.
It wasn't great, but it was better. It wasn't as bad as some people were fearing. And the euro is above 125 against the dollar. That always surprises me when I see this.
How many bears are there out there telling you that the euro is about to collapse? For the last 3 or 4 months, we've been telling our clients that we think the euro will move lower. But what we've said is we don't think it will move lower in a big one step. It's not going to collapse. It'll go down in a series of volatile steps all the way down. And that's sort of roughly what we're seeing. And to some extent, what you've seen in the last 3 or 4 trading sessions is the belief that the Europeans will finally do something about their banking system, which will be largely positive for the euro. And the Americans will introduce some form of additional quantitative easing, which means there's more dollars in the market and therefore dollar moves lower. So ultimately, that's the reason why you've seen euro moving higher. But the other point I'd make out is that if you look at two sets of other currencies, Noki, the Norwegian krona, the Swedish krona have also moved a lot higher, which is a signal that the market generally believes that world conditions have improved. You can see that in economic surprise indicators. And equally in Eastern Europe, you see in the Eastern European economies, primarily the Polish zloty, the Hungarian forint, or the Czech krona, all moving higher again, which suggests that there's increased confidence that something will be done and therefore the world economy isn't in such dire straits as we talked about the last time I was here.
Well, that is encouraging. So in 30 seconds, just to sum up, where should we be thinking about putting our money at the moment?
Well, actually, our view hasn't changed an awful lot. We still think that you should keep a lot of your money in fixed income, primarily as a hedge against problems in Europe. We still think you should have a good 5-7% of your money in gold, particularly if gold is breaking out. You really should gear your portfolio towards, on the equity space, low beta in emerging markets, China, Russia particularly, and also American equities. And in fixed income, you should be looking at US treasuries. And in emerging markets, you should be looking at short-dated hard currency debt.
Mark McFarlane, Chief Investment Strategist, Emirates NBD Private Banking. It's great to get your views. Thanks very much indeed.
It's always a pleasure.